I'll be reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. If you would like to turn there. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah would be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, because out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him." After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen in the east. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. After they were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared suddenly to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and escaped to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been outwitted by the wise men, flew into a rage. He gave orders to massacre all the male children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, in keeping with the time he had learned from the wise men. Then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be consoled because they were no more. May God bless that reading of his word.
So please stay there with in your Bibles, Matthew 2, 1 through 18. So this is a classic Christmas story. But Matthew, when he writes in his gospel, has a theological message when he gives history or when he gives narratives. There is something behind what he's just written and what Teresa has just read for us here. There's a very telling story in this that we're going to unpack today. First of all, there are three main characters that Matthew introduces here in the opening verse. Jesus, number one. King Herod, number two. And number three are the wise men. And it is these three characters that are going to play against each other, really, through the rest of this narrative. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod. Now, this is Herod the Great. Herod the Great was a self-proclaimed king of the Jews. Herod did not have one drop of Jewish blood in him. Herod the Great was Idumean. And Herod the Great was put in power by Caesar Augustus. Herod the Great was a puppet of Caesar. And they put him in power over Palestine because Herod the Great was a thug. And he ruled with an iron hand. And the reason Rome liked him was because he kept the peace in Judea. So this is the man that we're dealing with. So we have, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" Herod is king of the Jews. Here come the wise men from the east, and they're saying, "Herod, you were put in place by Rome, but here, where is the one who was actually born king of the Jews, who has the lineage? He did not attain to the crown, Jesus. Jesus was born king of the Jews. The minute he was born, he was king of the Jews." How do they know this? "For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." These wise men are from Babylon. These wise men are idolaters. These wise men are pagans. And doesn't it seem ironic to you? When I read this, it seemed ironic to me. Do you remember, did Israel have a history with Babylon? An unpleasant history with Babylon, 586 BC, when the Babylonian under Nebuchadnezzar came down and wiped out Jerusalem, wiped out the temple, took everybody away back to Babylon in the exile. And here, look how God does. Look what God does here. God brings three despised wise men, pagan idolaters, from the very nation that had conquered them centuries ago. And believe me, Israel never forgot this. Here are the three that are the least welcome in Israel's mind to this event. Nevertheless, God brings them to Jerusalem. Herod, I want you to understand when we read this, you're going to see yourself in this story, and you're also going to see the greater populace of our nation in this story, because there are two groups represented here. Herod will reveal to us in this story what human nature through sin has become, and what this rebellious human nature does when it is confronted with the truth of Jesus as revealed in Scripture. Herod is sinful human nature. Herod is altered humanity. Herod represents what humanity has become. Herod will show us what this rebellious, sinful nature in people, how it reacts when it comes in contact with the truth of Jesus as revealed in Scripture. That's what Herod's going to show us. It's not pretty. That's number one. There's another group. And isn't this, again, exactly how God works? God uses the unusual to accomplish his means. God uses what we would think improper to accomplish his means, because the wise men will reveal what rebellious, sinful human nature can become through grace when it is exposed to the truth of Jesus as revealed in Scripture. There are two reactions that humanity has when exposed to the truth of Jesus in Scripture. Herod's going to show us one reaction. The wise men are going to show us another reaction. "Where we saw his star in the east and we've come to worship him." That's their reaction. These are pagans. They worship the stars. The stars are their idols. They know nothing of God. They know nothing of Scripture. Herod, on the other hand, is in the seat of Judaism. He's in Jerusalem. He's surrounded by scribes. He's surrounded by the Word. He's surrounded by the book. The wise men come to worship. Herod has quite another agenda. Verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed. The wise men have a reaction. What altered humanity can become when it's exposed to Scripture, and the wise men come to worship. Herod has a reaction. Sinful nature, rebellious human nature, when it comes in contact with the truth of Jesus as revealed in Scripture, look at the reaction. He's deeply disturbed. Why? Why is Herod deeply disturbed about what the wise men have just told him? Why is the world possibly deeply disturbed when you come in contact with the truth of Jesus as revealed in Scripture? And the answer to that is this: if Jesus of Nazareth is king, Herod is not. It's disturbing. The same thing is true for us. If Jesus of Nazareth is king, you are not. And that is the truth the Scripture shows us about Jesus. And the wise men, pagans, come and witness to him. Pagans, have you ever had that happen? Have you ever had an ungodly person witness to you? These are pagans, and they're coming and they're witnessing to the king of God's people. When Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed. And all Jerusalem with him. Why is Jerusalem disturbed also when Herod is disturbed? As the king goes, so goes the nation. Do you know why all of Jerusalem is disturbed here also? Because Herod the Great murdered 3 of his own sons because they threatened him. They were an ascension to the throne. And this man killed 3 of his own sons because it threatened his throne. Jerusalem was grieving also because when Herod the Great went into a rage, the whole city is going to pay for it. In fact, Caesar Augustus, a little sidebar, Caesar Augustus, who put Herod the Great in power, made this famous statement. He said, "It's better to be Herod's pig than it is to be his son." That's the man we're dealing with here. And you'll see his ruthless nature played out here later in this story. All of Jerusalem is disturbed with him. So Herod responds to this news. He assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people, and he asked them, "Where is the Messiah? Where would he be born?" God, don't ever take the spiritual high road with a non-believer. God adapts his revelation to suit the person that he's calling. That's a takeaway. God has adapted his revelation to you individually, suited to who you are, suited to what will light you up. You see, for the wise men, what they were about was worshiping the stars. That was their idol. God takes their idol and uses that to call them to himself. He calls them to him through their idol. For the wise men, he's revealing himself to them through stars. To the fishermen later on, he reveals himself through fish. You see that? Something in our lives that clicks with us and we think is just happenstance is actually God's revelation of himself to you. And he adapts it. He adapts it to who he is calling. To the wise men, to the pagans, to the Babylonians that worshiped the stars, the thing that would get their interest, the thing that would get their notice, was something going on in the constellations because they were astrologers. And so, they follow the star. And the star that they worship leads them to Jerusalem. Leads them to the book. The star leads them to Scripture. Verse 5. The scribes and the Pharisees and the priest are around Herod, and Herod is deeply disturbed, and Herod wants to know, where's this king? Where's the one that has been born king? And they say, well, in Bethlehem of Judea, they told him, because this is what was written by the prophet Micah. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, because out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people, Israel. The star leads them to Jerusalem. When they're in Jerusalem, Scripture leads them to Bethlehem. The star leads them to the book. The star leads them to Scripture. And Scripture points them to Bethlehem. Scripture points them to Jesus. God's progressive revelation. Revelation, what did Paul say about this in Romans? He said, everybody is without excuse. There is nobody who has an excuse to not know God. Because God has revealed himself through what he has made, through creation. For instance, Paul says, his divine attributes and his eternal power. All of that has shown man, every man, Jack, one of us, who God is. And that is God's way to draw us to the next level of revelation. And the next level of revelation is Scripture. Creation draws us to Scripture. Creation, the star, drew the wise men to Jerusalem, to the book. Creation cannot lead us all the way to the revelation of God. It can only take us halfway. I did a service in this church, funeral. And this was really brought home to me because I preached the word. And there were family members in the church that took umbrage with what I was saying. And later on, I understand that one of the family members said, when someone said, well, what'd you think of the service? And the family member, close family member to the deceased, said, I worship the sun and the stars. He said, I worship nature. And he discounted everything that I had just said about Scripture. You see, everything God has made is for one reason, and that is to draw us to himself. And everything that God made should draw us to his word. When we're drawn to his word, Scripture then points to Jesus. You see the progression here? You see what happened to the Magi? You see what happened to the wise men? The star gave them a revelation, and the star led them to Jerusalem. Your revelation, whatever it is, and however God has called you, and whatever clicks with you, whatever gets your attention, is meant to draw you to Scripture. It does not draw you directly to Jesus. The star did not take them straight to Bethlehem, did it? The star took them to the Word. The star took them to the book. And your revelation takes you to the book. Creation can only take us halfway. Only Scripture. Only Scripture has the power to take us home, to take us to see the face of Jesus of Nazareth, to see God himself incarnate. And then only Jesus, only the end of that satisfies the quest. Thank you, Dan. Verse 7. Then Herod. Okay, understand, both groups hear this. The scribes, the priest, Herod, all the characters that we talked about hear this. The wise men hear it. Then Herod the thug, secretly summoned the wise men and asked them, when exactly did this star first appear? Herod's calculating. And you know something else? Herod believed it devoutly. That is, please make note here. Because your eternal salvation hangs on what I'm going to say. Your eternal salvation hangs on what the story tells us here. Never assume that because you believe Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, that you have salvation. Doesn't James talk about that? You believe that God is one? Well, you do well, James says. But James says this caveat, the demons also believe this, and they shudder. Herod is deeply disturbed. Herod is scheming. Herod hears scripture, and Herod believes it. Is belief enough? You know, we banter that about in our theology all the time. All you've got to do is believe. I would have to take exception to that. There's a belief that results in rebellion, and there's a belief that results in worship. Herod has no doubt this is true. Herod has no doubt the scripture is true. Herod has no doubt that Jesus, this baby in Bethlehem, is born King of the Jews. How about you? You believe it? How do you react to it? Let's see how Herod reacts. Remember, Herod represents. What does Herod represent? Herod represents what human, sinful human nature has become through sin. And what this rebellious human nature does when it is confronted with the truth about Jesus revealed in Scripture. Herod is that representation. Nothing has changed. Those people are here and they're walking around today. The people that Herod represents, people here today. And what he does and what you do when you're confronted with the truth about Jesus as revealed in Scripture. And he asks the exact time the star appeared. Verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem. You know what he did? Herod reiterated the scripture story to them. My interpretation. I'm reading between the lines, but I believe that. He sends them to Bethlehem, and he bolsters them. He bolsters the sending by re-reading Micah's prophecy to them. He shared, you ever do this? You know what Herod did here? He shared scripture, watch this, with them for his selfish agenda. Oh, yes. The devil can cite scripture for his purposes. Yes. The devil hath power to assume a pleasing shape. Yes. The devil comes to Jesus in the wilderness and he quotes scripture to Jesus for his selfish ambition, his own purposes. Watch that. Do you ever get at somebody by using scripture? Somebody's wronged you, and you get back at them a little bit, just give them a little bit of a dig, and you use scripture to do it? He sends them to Bethlehem, he repeats Micah's prophecy, and he does it all for his selfish agenda. And he says, go to Bethlehem. Go and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him. Lie. Herod, rebellious, sinful human nature, absolutely believes it to be true, but absolutely also rejects Jesus' authority over him. He knows it's true. You know it's true. The whole world knows this is true. Paul says that. The liberal media knows this is true. The God haters in this country know it's true. but they reject, categorically reject, any authority that God or his son is going to exert over their lives. That's the issue. It is not disbelief. It is what this scripture says to us and what it means for us. Verse 9. After hearing the king, they went on their way. Now, understand. Again, read scripture carefully. The star has disappeared. The star, when they get to Jerusalem, and again, note, the star did not take them straight to Bethlehem. The star did not take them straight to Jesus. Your revelation through whatever will not take you straight to Jesus. The star takes them to Jerusalem and disappears. Now it reappears, but it stops. After hearing the king, they went on their way to Bethlehem. They arrive at Bethlehem, and there it was. Over Bethlehem, there it was. The star that they had seen in the east comes back. It led them until it came and stopped over the exact house where the child was. Scripture focuses creation's revelation. Have you had that happen? Have you had a revelation from God and it doesn't really make sense? I have. It didn't make sense, but it drew me to Scripture. And then when I read Scripture, it retroactively went back and made the revelations, made it sense. You see, it made sense to me then. Scripture focuses clearly the revelation that God has given you to call you. And here it is. The star is now focused. The star is laser beamed on the very house. That's interesting to me. That gets me. Because so many people refuse, even though the revelation draws them to God's word, they refuse to go any farther. The star will only take you to Jerusalem. The star will not take you to God. Only Scripture can do that. And that's exactly what happens here. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was, and then, verse 10, when they saw the star reappear, when they saw the star had reappeared, they were overjoyed beyond measure. Why? Because it verified Scripture. It was true. Now watch, I want you to watch here Matthew's universal explanation of what happens when we receive salvation. And put that template, superimpose your own reaction. Watch what happens to these men. They discover it's true. Do you remember the moment you discovered Scripture was true? Yeah, Dave. Do you remember how you felt? When you said, it's all true. Have you been there? Has it happened? Or are you still in rebellion against what that scripture says to you and what it demands of you? It is so much easier to worship creation because it is so less demanding. The fellow that was here in this church, he loved to worship creation because it puts no demands on him. And the message I gave that day was very demanding and exacting. They're overjoyed beyond measure. Number one, when you realize Scripture's true, they realized Scripture's true. The star is right here, laser beam shining on this house. Wow, Micah's prophecy. They entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and then look what they did. They fall to their knees. Number one, they're overjoyed. Number two, they fall to their knees. Number three, they worship him. Number four, then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You want to give God your best. You want to. This is the real deal salvation here. I'm not talking about that easy believism out there. I'm talking about this kind of experience that puts you on your knees. Listen, no one's ever had an encounter with genuine salvation and walked away from that saying, that's boring and irrelevant. If this is the kind of visceral, from the heart, soul-wrenching, heart-tearing reaction that occurs. They worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts. This is the first reported exchange or encounter between the world and Jesus. Did you know that? Isn't that fascinating? In all of Scripture, this is the first reported encounter between an unbelieving world, the wise men. Matthew, you're brilliant. Of course, he calls them wise men, right? Wise men because of how they react to this story. You get that? The first report between an unbelieving world, a pagan world, and their encounter with Jesus. And then lastly, number five, they return to their own country by another route. Did you do that? Or did you just go back to your house and to your job and to your marriage and to your children and just same old, same old? Or did it change you? Listen, salvation means nothing if it doesn't change us. You see how Matthew does here? The experience they had when they realized Scripture was true and they encounter the living, breathing Jesus changes them so much that they go back home a different way. We can't live the same way. Like the exchange between Peter and Matthew after Jesus told the extra biblical, after Jesus told this parable of the prodigal son. And Peter says, my wife is on me. She wants me to come home. He's talking to Matthew, who were enemies. Matthew and Peter were enemies before Jesus told the story about the prodigal son, which was geared at them, by the way, at the house of I forget his name. He was at a dinner party at one of the house, and Matthew and Peter would have nothing to do with each other. And so Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son, and he's talking about the two of them. And after that is over, Peter and Matthew become friends, and Peter says, my wife wants me to come home, and she's on my case. And Peter says, I'm just going to go home. And Matthew says, no, you won't. He says, you're never going to go home again. He says, you're never going to get drunk again. You're never going to carouse again. He said, we can't do any of those things again. We cannot live the same way we lived before because we have encountered the Lord and Master Jesus. And that's what this story tells us. They're overjoyed. They fall to their knees. They worship him. They give him their best, and they live differently. You know the irony here? Church, listen. Are you jaded by Scripture? Is it shop-worn? You heard it so much, you know it all. The pagan wise men are led to Jerusalem. We have pagans in this nation. And they're led to Jerusalem to the people who have the written book. We have the book. And when the word is read in the hearing of both the church and the pagans, it's the pagans who follow it. What's wrong with that? While the people of God, the priests and the scribes, sit complacently in Jerusalem. Even when these wise men come and say, hey, something dramatic has happened in the heavens, and we think it has to do with your Messiah being born. And by the way, it's like, well, it's 6 miles from here. Bethlehem is 6 miles from Jerusalem. And they both hear the prophecy of Micah, the church, the people of God, you who have the book, and they're jaded. They sit complacently by. Listen, that is a problem. This is a huge problem. In the church, every church, we've become too familiar. It's shop-worn. And that's what happened to the priest and the scribes. But to the pagans, it is hot news. They make the six-hour trek to Bethlehem, and the people of God sit in the church. When the very thing they've been waiting for and that Micah has promised is a living, breathing child 6 hours away, they won't even go check it out. Be careful about that. If Scripture is boring to you, an old hat and shop-worn, and you're jaded to it, you had better, right quick, ask the Holy Spirit to change that. They don't believe the promise is enough to walk the 6 miles to Bethlehem. After they were gone, they go back another way. Herod says, come back and tell me. Well, they go back another way. They don't go to Herod. Hey, here we are, our angel study. Look at here. After they were gone, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Why didn't God just stop Herod? I mean, does God have the juice to do that? And yet, God knows Herod's going to do this unspeakable slaughter here in just a couple of verses. God knows it. And he sends an angel to warn Joseph. So Joseph gets up, took the child and his mother during the night. That reminds me of Peter's escape from prison when the angel comes and taps Peter on the side and he says, it's at night, he says, get up. And he says, then Peter, cover yourself with your cloak. Such a byplay between the demonic forces in the heavenly realm and the angelic forces in the heavenly realm is going on right here, right now before us. And yet the angels come and it's not a miracle. Joseph and Mary and Jesus' escape isn't a miracle, it's obedience. The angels are here, and they're powerful, loving beings, and they're here to help us, protect us, and serve us, but it requires obedience. Joseph is obedient. Joseph protects his family. We have divinity, the angel, and humanity, Joseph, teaming up to protect his family from a humanity that is also teamed up with Satan. You don't think that there are people in this world and in your world that are under the control of Satan and are coming at you to destroy you and your family? Wise up. They are. And there's nothing godly about allowing somebody to come into your family and destroy your family. Protect them. Men, protect your family. Team up with God, because the enemy has teamed with somebody and they're coming. Then Herod, When he saw that he had been outwitted by the wise men, he flew into a rage. You had to understand, Herod, he was a maniac. Look what he does. I'm going to tease something out of this. He gave orders to massacre all the male children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, in keeping with the time that he had learned from the wise men. Hey, wise men, remember he said, when exactly did you see this star? Remember? Oh, you think that is heinous. Right? That's heinous. Really? In keeping with the time he had learned from the wise men, then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be consoled because they were no more. The world has a chance. Herod had a chance. Herod was given an oral invitation to go and worship at the feet of Jesus. The world has been given, and you have been given, an invitation to go and worship at the feet of Jesus. You have a chance, but that chance has a shelf life. Herod's shelf life has just expired. He heard the word. He could have gone and worshiped Jesus. But instead of pursuing it, he tries to kill it. He believes it. This is important. He believes it from the heart, and he absolutely summarily rejects it from the heart. Is belief enough? He tries to kill it. Rejection of God's revelation always ends in hurting people. Because just like salvation leads to a new way of life, genuine humanity, watch this. Rejection of salvation also leads to a new way of life, defaced humanity. Herod is defaced humanity because he rejects. The wise men experience genuine humanity because they accept it. And interesting to note, and our nation had better perk up their ears and note this well, in this narrative, the last stop of defaced humanity is the slaughter of children. It's the terminal. It's the seminal. Doesn't get any worse than this, Matthew says. Last stop of defaced humanity is to take the most helpless members of a society and kill them. Because to Herod, this child was going to be a decided inconvenience to his life, and he's not going to have any of that. Don't you try and push your morality off on me. You hear that? Killing babies. This is the last act of Herod. You know, would you hate to be known by that, by the way, as your last act? Herod dies shortly after this. You've been given revelation. Your specific revelation, specific to your idiosyncratic self. What clicks with you? You know, oddly enough for me, and I think maybe I've trailed my coat here on this a little bit, for me it was Shakespeare. What? Yeah, it was Shakespeare. Shakespeare was how God revealed himself to me and drew me to Scripture. Now, I don't know what it is for you, but it is something. So when that happens, open the word, because Shakespeare did not take me to God. Shakespeare took me to Scripture. Scripture took me to God. The star won't take you to Bethlehem. The star will take you to the word, and the word will take you to Bethlehem. Thank you, God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you would bless this message. Amen.